I now welcome Ulrich Poehner. Ulrich Poehner will present on the theme of this conference here of what Germany's state of faith really is. Is Germany post-Christian? Is it still Christian? Or is it indeed a pre-Christian nation? As I said, Mr. Poehner is the director of the International Migration Office of the German Catholic Bishops' Conference. Ulrich Poehner, welcome, and we're looking forward to your presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. So it's the fate of the last speaker that he will repeat some things that you already heard before during these days. So please forgive me that not everything is very new, what I could say to you. First slide. Yes, this is only to introduce me with one word. The Catholic Bishops' Conference is the main body of the Catholic Church in Germany, and I'm in charge of the Department for International Affairs and for Migration Affairs of the Catholic Church in Germany. This includes responsibility for the very big relief and development agencies of the Catholic Church in Germany. It includes responsibility for interreligious dialogue and controversial affairs as well. And it includes responsibility for the 160 pastoral units we have for the German-speaking Catholics abroad. That means throughout the world. There are 160 stations, communities, and so on of German-speaking Catholics all over the world. And we try to organize them. Okay, let's start. I should make some remarks on the state of Christianity of the churches in Germany. So I would like to start with a British comedian being asked, "How is your wife?" He always responded, "Compared to what?" So the topic of this seminary and of my lecture today is how is Christianity in Germany? So let me ask back, compared to what? Indeed, the situation of Christianity and the churches in Germany appears to be critical, if not disastrous, compared to the renaissance of religion we are facing almost all over the world. Looking to what's going on in Latin America, in Africa, and in parts of Asia, Western Europe as a whole, and especially some parts of Central Europe, including most of all Germany, Hungary, and the Czech Republic, seem to be nothing than an agnostic, perhaps rather atheist, desert. And it's also true if you compare the situation in Germany with that of the United States. Although you have these big discussions about the place of Christianity in the public sphere, in public services, in schools, in universities, and so on, despite of that, the religious feeling of the American population is much much more widespread than in Central Europe. And this is true also for Christianity. As I read, most of the migrants that came to your country were Christians. And this means people coming from Latin America, they are Catholic, and also coming people from Asia and even from the Middle East. Most of them are Christian. And so, in a way, you are a Christian nation. I will give you some information about the critical. Next slide. About some critical facts of our situation in Germany first. But in the next, in the second chapter, I will present some different facts that allow us a more positive thinking about our situation. In chapter 3, I will talk about a broader perspective to understand our situation with its problems and with its opportunities. And this will lead to the conclusion that we need a new missionary model of the churches in Germany, and then that, in a way, we are already on the way to find this new social model of the church. So, first, some facts that underline the critical situation of the church and churches in Germany. I will give you some facts about both churches, and some of them are about the Catholic Church. This could be quite interesting because you heard other information about the Lutheran and the Protestant churches in Germany already during our lectures yesterday. So what you already heard is that in the year 2003, 31% or 32% of the German population were Catholic Christians, 31% were Protestant or Evangelical, how you like, Christians. Approximately 1.2 million were Orthodox Christians coming from Eastern Europe, most of them as migrants. And so approximately 65%, two of three of the population, is Christian. 100,000, this is said on the slides, are Jews. This is no longer true. Now in 2007 there are 200,000 who belong to the Jewish community. And the reason is that there were many migrants from Eastern Europe, especially from Russia, coming to Germany and now disturbing the life in the traditional Jewish communities, but this is another topic. To understand our religious situation, it's more important to see that there are approximately 3.3 million Muslims living in Germany, and this means that one of three of the German population is not affiliated to any religious community. And this is something that is very special. It's a situation we only have to face with in Central Europe and East Germany and the Czech Republic are the center of this situation. Next slide. How religious do the German population consider itself? There was the question, apart from the fact whether you go to church or not, would you say that you are religious or not religious or whatever? And you can see in the slides that from the population as a whole, 39% consider themselves as rather religious and 24% as rather not religious, 12% rather atheist, and one of four more or less undecided about that. It is a main problem, you can see in the lines downstairs, that of those belonging to the Protestant Church and to the Catholic Church, only 53 or 58 on the Catholic side consider themselves as rather religious. That means there is not only a crisis in the society as a whole, but the religious crisis is deeply rooted in the Christian communities themselves. Next slide. So this is about the Catholics, and I can assure you the numbers about the Protestant churches are not better. So from the Catholic population, what do they believe? 83% say they believe in God, but only 55% say they believe that God created the world. And 54% say they believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. 52% believe in a life after death, and only 36% in the resurrection of the dead as Christ is risen. That means most of the Catholics, and this is true also for the Protestants, do not share central points of our common faith. Next slide. So how confident is the population in Germany with the churches? Not much. You see, the Protestant church, 20% of the whole German population say they are confident in them, and 26% say they are not confident. And the situation for the Catholic Church is much worse. Only 10% of the German population say we feel confidence in the Catholic Church, and 46% say they are not confident with the Catholic Church. Next slice. This is quite interesting. Perhaps you know that the churches in Germany are a big player, or big players, in the social life of our society. There are 500,000 professional workers at the Catholic Caritas, and another 500,000 professionals at the Protestant Diakonie. 1 million of the Germans are employed at the social services of the church. And people feel confidence to that work. In the Catholic case, it means 30% think the Caritas, the social services of the church, deserve confidence, and only 40% think they do not deserve confidence. And on the other side, you see the numbers of the church as a whole, that only 10% are confident in the church. So people don't take both together, the church and its social services. They agree and accept, they like the social services of the church, but they don't like the church itself. This is a very special situation. I will come back to that later on. Yes, this is about the Holy Mass. You know that for the Catholic identity, the attendance of Sunday Mass is much more important than in most of the Protestant churches. So for us, it means a lot. But 34% of Catholics, those who are members of the church, say Mass is not all at all important for me. 39% say sometimes I attend the Mass, but not regularly, only on high holidays. And only 18% go to Mass once a month or more. The number of of Catholics going to the church, to the Mass, every Sunday is 15% now. In the Protestant churches, the worship attendance on Sunday is 4%, I think. Okay, next slides. Yes, this gives us an overall picture. I only go to the second part of it. So this is about the commitment with the church. And surveys show that 18% of the Catholics, 18%, describe themselves as faithful and in close accord with the church, while 33% describe themselves as critically disposed towards the church, and nearly 50% as dissociated, uncertain, and unreligious. Next slide. So this is about church practice. I already informed you about the situation now with the Mass attendance. Here you can see what happened before. In 1960, there were 45% attending Catholics attending the Mass regularly. Now there are 15%. 2.5 generations later, this is a decrease of 67%. Not as bad as the situation with Catholic baptisms. In 1960, 87% of the Catholics brought their children to baptism, and in 2002 there were 76% who come to their priests to get baptism for their children. Next slides. This is a very misleading slide because you can see it's 94 and 95%. So this there are no real changes, no remarkable changes in the burial rate for Catholics. So you can see some practices are still there. Almost everybody wants to be buried by the church and not within secular forms. So to keep it together, Sunday Mass attendance as main experience of community and pursuance of religion decreased dramatically during one or two generations. The Catholic baptisms dropped slightly, and the burial rate for Catholics did not change remarkably. Next slide. Oh, this is too specific. Next slide. Okay, this is about our priests in the Catholic Church. In 1990, not far ago, there were 15,000 Catholic priests. This means unmarried priests, and in the year 2000, there were still 12,600, and the projection for the year 2025 is that the Catholic Church in Germany will have only 6,000 priests. That means orderly priests living in religious orders. Or in the parishes. You see there's a decrease from 15,000 to 6,000 within 1.5 generation. Next slide. This is about the number of Catholics. It's now at 26 million, and there are some differing projections about the future. In the year 2025, we may have 22 million Catholics or 20 million Catholics. These numbers are better than the projection for the Protestant churches Bishop Schoene spoke about yesterday night. But it shows, as it is said above, that this slightly annual decline of Catholic figures leads to the long term to a clear collapse of the whole system. Next slide. Yes, what do people think, normal people think, the whole population thinks about what the church is good for, what it should do in the society? And it's remarkable that 75% of the German population as a whole thinks that the churches should be involved and even more involved in social institutions. 50%, more than 50%, think that the churches should represent Christian values. 40% thinks that religion should be compulsory subject in school. And amongst those who think this, there are many who do not belong to the churches. So this is quite remarkable. Almost 40% want the churches to be involved in political decisions, and religion education already in kindergartens is wished by 35% of the population. So the churches are seen above all in their social functions, and this is demanded even more. This is what the population in Germany wants the churches to do and to be. Next slide. Okay. What I told you, all these numbers and figures, what does it mean that the church is a dying church? But there are some other, some different facts that also should be taken into account. First of all, the relationship between state and church in Germany is stable and it is well accepted. This is what the Consul General talked about yesterday evening, so I can be more short. There are different types of separation of church and state in the Western societies. The French model is a hostile form of separation and state. And the German model is a friendly form of separation and state. So this means state and church are free in their spaces, but there is a broad space for cooperation between them. And that means that the churches are permitted to give religious instruction in the schools, in all forms of schools, and in all levels of public schools. This means that the theological faculties are part of the public universities, and they are paid, the professors are paid by the government. This means that we as the churches have access to prisons and to the military, to the Bundeswehr, to take care for the soldiers and for those who are arrested, and that we are part of the social system in Germany. The state itself considers itself as religious and ideologically neutral, and thus the principle of parity between state and religious and religion, which means that state and the religious communities can make treaties with one another. Next slide. Yes, the basic law, the constitution of Germany, individual and cooperative, this is very important, cooperative religious freedom is guaranteed, and the concrete arrangements between the churches and the state are laid down on the Catholic side in concordates with the Apostolic See, and in many treaties between the dioceses and the Bundesländer, the federal states in Germany, on the Protestant sides, there are those treaties made by the Landeskirchen and the federal states. Next slide. Yes, this means that the churches are free to administer their own affairs. So the government is not allowed to interfere, not in doctrine and in cult, but not even in organization and in employment regulations. This is important so far. As you know, I said there is 1 million people, employees at the social services of the church. Not all of them are Christians. And not all of them behave as their churches want them to behave. And it's said by the German constitution that the church itself is responsible for their own affairs, and that means they have to decide whom they want to employ. So there's a big debate about anti-discrimination policies in Germany, and the discussion is people who do not live like their churches want them to do. Is the church obliged to keep them in the church offices and in the church services? And the constitution and the courts say no. There is a free space for the churches to for themselves to decide about their employees. Okay, this is about the relationship between state and church, and this is important to say because it opens a big space for the church to work in the German society and to find contact with people. So we could not say that we are the churches are something like a marginalized minority. The public sphere, we are still strong, and it seems that we remain to be strong. Secondly, and this is connected with what I said, the German model of state-church relationship enables the churches to provide a wide range of social services and education. And this means we have contact with the people in all kinds of social services. We can get in touch with them. We are not far away from them as churches. But the question to us is, do we use these opportunities we have given by this special state relationship and our involvement in social services in Germany? I will come back to that. Thirdly, let's compare the situation, the state between the total population and the younger generations. Many believe that there is an ongoing decline of Christian faith. That means from generation to generation, Christianity is burning out more and more. New research, new opinion polls show that this seems not to be the case. There's a very new opinion poll survey with the question, do you reflect intensively about religion? And 76% of the elder population, people older than 60, say, yes, they reflect intensively about religion. And of those who are 40 to 60 years old, only 58% say, yes, we reflect intensively about religion. So, and now have a look to the generation of those who are 18 to 29. The younger Germans, they're 68%. That means much more than in the group of the 40 to 60 old people, say, yes, we reflect intensively about religion. So the younger Germans, the younger generation of Germans, is more interested in religion, reflects much more about it than the generation before, that is the generation of their parents. Another example. People were asked, how strong do you believe in God? And the part of those who say, more or less, I believe strongly in God, is in the group of those who are 40 to 59, 59%. They say, I believe with a high intensity in God. In the group of those who are 50 to 59, 54% say they believe with high intensity in God. And now in the group of those who are between 18 and 29, there are 64% believing strongly in God. That means 10 points more than in the group before. So the younger generation feels themselves, considers themselves believing stronger than the generation of their parents do. And a last example, and it's a very surprising one, I think. It's about the attendance of worships. People were asked, how intensive is your practice? In the group of those who are 40 to 49 years old, 34% say there is a high intensity of worship attendance. In the group of those who are 50 to 59, there are 39% with a high intensity in worship attendance. And in the group of those who are 18 to 29 years old, 41% say we have an intensive practice of attending worships. This seems to be a quite interesting result because there's the common prejudice in Germany that younger people feel religious but they are disconnected from the churches and their practices. And new research shows that the opposite seems to be right. While the parents, who are 40, 50 years old, are more engaged in private prayings and in meditation, the younger generation attends more the worship of the churches. All these numbers show that the crisis of Christianity is not over. But there is no, and this is a result of it, there is no ongoing decline in that sense that Christianity dies piece by piece from generation to generation. Just one remark on the situation in East Germany. I will not talk about the specific situation in East Germany very long because other presenters, especially Dr. Uwe Simonetto, did it before. And it is right. It's correct. There are good reasons to state that East Germany is the most secularized region in the world. As you already heard, in the western parts of Germany, 15% say they do not belong to any religion, and in the eastern population, the number is 68% who state that for themselves. But what we have to take in, to bear in mind is also that there is not a total different system of values between East and West. 10% in East Germany and 11%, almost the same number, 11% in the West think that life is without meaning. It's the same situation. And surveys show that Western and Eastern population have the same high esteem of family life, of life with children, and of marriage and long, lifelong partnership. And so surveys also show us that there is a group amongst the East German population belonging to no denomination, but highly interested in God and in religion, reflecting deeply on topics such as the meaning of life, the meaning of human suffering, and so on. These people look for something they can believe in, and the question is once more, will our churches be strong enough to reach them? Next slide. No, next. No, last slice. Yes, that's right. I come to chapter 3, and I called it a broader a perspective. It is about to understand all these numbers and figures and facts I quoted to come much closer to an answer to the question, what is the state of Christianity in Germany? Do the churches have a future? So, in the beginning of Nostra Aetate, the famous declaration of the Second Vatican Council on the non-Christian religions, it is stated that there are some fundamental questions all human beings are confronted with, and all religions try to answer. I quote, "What is the human being? What is the meaning and the goal of our life? What is good? What is sin? Where does the pain come from, and what is its meaning? What is the way to true happiness? What is about the deepest mystery of our existence, where we come from and where we go?" Quote. To be clear, these are not questions of so-called religious people. Immanuel Kant, the great German philosopher and front-runner of the European Aufklärung, describes the situation of mankind in a very similar way. So I think every human being is confronted with these questions. And that means that religions, Christianity, always have the chance to give its answer to people. Of course, there is a variety of answers that can be given to these questions. And it is not yet decided that Western Europe and Germany will accept Christianity as their answer in the future. But on the other hand, it seems to me that there are no good reasons why the Christian churches should lose that battle. And I will give some observations on that. Firstly, Christianity still is the religion of the majority of the German population. There is a phenomenon that is unknown in America, as far as I know. It's called vicarious religion. Professor Grace Davy, a sociologist of religion at the University of Exeter, presented that concept of vicarious religion. And she means, I quote, "By vicarious, I mean the notion of religion performed by an active minority, but on behalf of a much larger number who, implicitly at least, not only understand, but quite clearly approve of what the minority is doing." And I think this describes parts of the reality we have in Germany too. You see, the churches in Germany are the only institutions that are able to express collective feelings, especially in the case of disasters that demand answers going far beyond a pure secular horizon. When there is the tsunami, so much people that died. When there are shootings in schools, it's more something happening in the U.S., but sometimes we also have these things happen. It's an overwhelming majority of the Germans, belonging to the churches or not, who want the churches to celebrate public worships, to express the mourning of the German nation. No other institution in Germany can do that and is wanted to do that. People want the churches, as I already mentioned, to be an active part of the life of the German, of the social life of the German society. And this does not only mean to do educational work, to provide social services. It also means that people think the churches should express something that goes beyond their daily experiences. Churches are expected to represent the heritage and the history and the transcendent dimension of life. People want the churches, and that means those belonging to the churches and those who do not belong to them. People want the churches to be part, to give public ethical guidance. Oftenly, they do not approve that guidance. But they want the churches to give it. So they listened to it. If Cardinal Lehmann, as the chairman of the German Bishops' Conference, or Bishop Huber, as the chairman of the IKD, make their word in public debates, people listen to that. Perhaps they disagree, but they listen to it, and they discuss it. So this is some aspects of what is meant by vicarious religion in our society. And this is also why a majority of the people wants religious education at public schools. One should think that in a society where such a little number of people believing in Christian values, people should not like to see their children educated in schools having religious instructions. But this actually is what a broad majority of the German population wants. This is vicarious religion. Secondly, which other religion can attract the German population? Or which other ideology could attract major parts of the Germans? I think there is no other religion or ideological system that is able to attract the Germans. Not Islam. What Islam is all about in its mentality, its culture and customs, and its heritage and history does not fit with Central European culture. And this is the reason why only 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, we do not know exactly, as Reverend Hauser told us yesterday, converts to Islam. Those who were Christians before or were nothing before. 1 year, 1,000 people, and this is nothing. This shows that they do not attract the normal German population. Islam, up to now, is the religion of migrant workers from Turkey and the Middle East, a very active minority, as it was described by Bishop Schöner and Reverend Hauser yesterday, but not a very attractive one for the rest of the population. Not Buddhism. Some of the German elites, the intellectuals and so on, are attracted by the Buddhist teaching about what they understand as self-salvation. Self-salvation, indeed, as you know, is a temptation of modern mankind with its idea of almost total autonomy. But Buddhism does not only mean self-salvation, it also means to overcome the individual personality. This is its way of overcoming human suffering.